For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God. God says, "Can anything make me stop loving you? Can anything make me stop loving you?" If you believe that, just watch me speak your language. Watch me sleep on your earth and feel your hurts. Behold the maker of sight and sound as he sneezes, coughs, blows his nose. You wonder if I understand how you feel? Look into the dancing eyes of the kid in Nazareth. That's God walking to school. Ponder the toddler at Mary's table. That's God spilling his milk. Well, you wonder how long my love will last? Find your answer on that splintered cross on a craggy hill. That's me you see up there. Your maker. Your God. Nailed, stabbed, and bleeding. Covered in spit and sin-soaked. That's your sin I'm feeling. That's your death I'm dying. That's your resurrection that I'm living. That's how much I love you. Most of the time that we read the Bible, we are reading or looking for something to answer our question, or trying to find something that will make sense of the way that things are transpiring in our lives. We're trying to find just the right little piece of scripture, single verse or half a verse, that will prove my point. But have you ever read the Bible just to look for the warmth and beauty and love that's there? The Bible is a love story from cover to cover. Rethink what the Bible is. Some think it's an answer book. You can find answers there. Some think of it as a mystery, and oh, what a mystery it is. Some even think of the Bible as a history book, and it has history in it. But the Bible is a book that reveals to us God and all of his love. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He made us in his own image to be just a little lower than the angels, but above all of creation. He gave us the power to choose, free choice, free will. He wants us to love him, and he gives us many chances to love him. But he's a gentleman, and he won't force his love upon us. But all we have to do is to love him. He waits for us. When Moses noticed the burning bush, it wasn't until Moses stopped and turned and came toward the theophany, God in the burning bush. Then God spoke to him. Noah was a man that walked with God, and God saw him as a righteous man and loved him and saved him and his family. God is always revealing his love for us if we choose to see it. if we choose to feel it, if we accept it. Oh, but I know lots of the time life clutters our receptors. We're so beat up by life that, well, it's sometimes hard to remember how much God does love us. Sometimes we feel like Job when he cries out, how I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me. A person said to me not long ago, I know that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but... She knows God loves her, but sometimes it's hard to see or feel or accept his love through all of our pain. And so we pray and wait, and no answer. And so we pray and wait, and no answer. And so you pray and wait. May I ask you a very important, impersonal question? What if God says no? What if the request is delayed or even denied altogether? Oh, but wait, you say, I thought God loves me. How can he deny me if he really loves me? Well, he does love you. And he can deny you because he loves you. I mean, how can you deny your children or grandchildren or the neighbor kids what they want? Don't you love them? Well, sure you do. But you see, you can see beyond their immediate want. When God says no to you, how will you respond? If God says, I've given you my grace, nothing more is needed. Test yourself with this question. What if God's only gift to you were his grace to save you? Would you be content? Content. Now that's a word. Content. A state of heart in which you would be at peace if God gave you nothing more than he already has. What if God only gave you the gift of his grace? Would you be content? What if his answer is, my grace is enough? Would you be content? You see, from heaven's perspective, grace is enough. When the Good Morning America show announced Peter Urich had died several years ago, died of the cancer that he'd been suffering with for some time, they replayed an interview that they had with him that was taped shortly after he was diagnosed with this cancer. And in that tape, they asked how he dealt with it, understanding that he had a wife and two young children. And he said to them, somewhat apologetically, I thanked God for the opportunity to be tested. Do we thank God for the good things that happen and the bad? Are we content? Are we at peace when God says, I've already given you everything you need? I've given you my grace. And that is enough. A father called his family to the table one night, and he set a plate in front of each of them. Now, the plate was empty, but in the center of the table, he placed a collection of food. There was some fruit, some raw vegetables, and some Oreo cookies. And he said, every day God prepares for us a plate of experiences. What kind of a plate do you enjoy most? Well, that was a pretty easy answer for little Sarah. She grabbed 3 Oreo cookies and put on her plate. Yeah, some days are like that, aren't they? Some days our plate has nothing but vegetables on it, though. 24 hours of celery and carrots and squash. Well, apparently God knows that we need some strength, and though the portion may be hard to swallow, isn't it for our own good? Most days, however, have a bit of it all. Vegetables which are healthy but dull. Fruit which tastes better and we enjoy. And even most days we've got an Oreo cookie or two, which does little for our nutrition, but it does a lot for our attitude. The next time your plate has more broccoli than apple pie, remember who prepared the meal. And the next time your plate has a portion that you find hard to swallow, talk to God about it. Jesus did. Yes, it is hard to remember. We are going to do that. It is hard to remember to thank God for all that He has done for us. But that's why Christ left us with this Eucharist table. To remind us that there isn't anything that can make Him stop loving us. And there isn't anything that He won't do for us. He told His disciples to eat and drink of these, and as often as you do, remember Me. My grace is sufficient. And so we come to receive grace that God gives to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So prepare your hearts and your minds and your souls as we come to receive God's grace and kneel at His table to share with Him and let Him share with us.